Would you turn with me, please, this evening to that passage that we read, Luke's Gospel and chapter 14. Luke's Gospel, chapter 14. And we might read again the words that we have in the verse Mark 22. Luke 14 and 22. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Yet there is room. Oh, when we come and we read this passage and we see what has led up to this verse, led up to these gracious words, surely we are astonished. The scene is set. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's there on the Sabbath day and he's at a feast in the home of one of the Pharisees. And this wasn't wrong. Oh, what would have been wrong is to be like the Pharisees. But here he is, he's dining in the home of one of the Pharisees, he's feasting. And he uses this symbol of the feast to bring before those who would hear him that picture of the great feast, the gospel feast, the gospel supper, that great supper. And there were those, and they heard the summons to come to this great supper. And they had their excuses. Now they had bought the oxen. They had married the wife. All the excuses not to come to the great feast that had been laid out for them. And dear friends, you know that it is the custom of our church on the Sabbath evening of a communion season to particularly concentrate on the gospel. Those who have sought outside the table this morning to speak particularly to you about the great provision that has been made, the great supper that has been provided. You see, here we have a passage and a parable that is laced with symbolism. The supper. Oh, the supper speaks about the provision of the gospel. The provision of the good news that Jesus Christ has come into the world and done all the work that is necessary to save sinners. That he has sent servants out to call them in. Servants, the ministers of the word. Many of you here will over these past 15 years or so have heard one servant time and time again bringing before you the gospel message. Those of you who are older will have heard other men come bringing the gospel message. You will have heard, you will have sought on evenings like this, and you will have heard the needs of your soul brought before you. You have been faced with this darkness of the gospel. You have been brought face to face with your own mortality. Been ushered out into eternity, Christless. The doom that that is to your soul. Despite all the excuses that you may have brought for not coming to this gospel feast, and yet God is standing upon grace. He is saying, yet there is room. Yet there is room. Oh yes, the hour is getting late. Life itself is going on. And we are heading towards that day when we shall go to that house appointed for all living. The clock that's on the wall this evening, that is to remind me of how I must account for the time as I preach the word and when to end. It's the same clock that is ticking in your life and in mine to remind us that day by day, minute by minute, we are moving inexorably to the grave. But yet, there is room. Yet, there is room. You might ask in the first place, where there is room. The word comes before us and it says, yet there is room. The servants have gone out, they have compelled those to come in, the poor and the maimed and the sick, out into the hedges and the byways. And yet, there is room. See, these words remind us, do they not, that in this provision, all that is necessary for you and for me to come to this gospel supper have been provided. Have been provided. What is the great barrier tonight that separates a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that is born from a holy God? What is the barrier? What is that which separates? The barrier and that which separates you, dear friend, from a holy God is sin. That is the great obstacle. But even that great obstacle can be removed. And it is removed in Jesus Christ. It is removed in Him. This morning we came round that table to remember His death. To remember on the cross His work. To remember what He accomplished. Because of His merits. Because of who He was. Because of the infinite value of that death. You know, it wasn't the case that anyone could die upon the cross and atone for sin. There was a malefactor. A malefactor on that cross beside the Savior. One who had trusted in Christ. There was no infinite value in His death. His death could not atone. But only Christ could atone. That is the great obstacle of sin that has been removed. Yet there is room. There is room in the door that you may enter in. We're told in Matthew chapter 7 that straight is the gate. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the gate. You see, the gate to enter into heaven is not broad. And we are told in that same passage in Matthew chapter 7, the broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go down that road. But narrow is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads unto eternal life. And yet, dear friends, there is room at that door. Room at that door. That as you prize to enter in, you leave your sins outside. That as you prize to enter in, you leave your righteousnesses outside. The Bible says that not merely of your sins, but also of your righteousnesses. The plural. They are filthy rags. Oh, the wideness of the door. The wideness of the door is the wideness of the infinite love of God. The merits of Jesus Christ. Because you see, dear friends, tonight, Christ is the door. Christ is the door. The one that we remembered this morning is the one who said, I am the door. By me if ye enter in. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. See, tonight as we are gathered here, there is no flaming sword now keeping men away from the tree of life. That flaming sword that separated them, the Garden of Eden, that has now fallen upon the Lamb of God. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Have we ever thought what that means? That the sword of justice, of divine wrath and indignation, had to be awakened against Christ. It doesn't have to be awakened against you or against me. It's already awake. Because we are sinners. Oh, but it had to be awakened against Christ. That it might fall on him. So that we might enter in. Where there is room, or there is room at the wideness of the door, there is room in the provisions that have been made. But you know, there is also room in the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. The merits of Jesus Christ are indispensable to the great subject, to the great feeling of redemption. The grace and the power of the Holy Spirit are also necessary. We need a new creation. If we are going to enter heaven, we need to be new beings in Christ. We cannot do that of ourselves. We cannot bring our works. They have been tainted with sin. We cannot bring our righteousness. It is of no value. And we can only bring what God has given to us in Jesus Christ. And it is the Spirit which gives life. And there is life more abundant in him. And for the Holy Spirit applies that new life to us. And we have a beautiful picture there at the end of the book of Revelation. We are told of that river, that pure river that flows from the throne of God. That is the grace of God. It flows from him. But you will remember also that at that point in Revelation, there is the tree beside the river. And the tree beside the river bears 12 manner of fruits. And the fruits and the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations. Oh, that speaks about Christ. That speaks about His grace and His mercy and His love. And that speaks about that balm that He applies to the souls of those who trust in Him. Dear friends, let us pause. What is your excuse tonight? Is your excuse that, well, my sin is too great? My sin is too great. Is your sin the sin of murder? Christ saved the murderer. Is your sin the sin of adultery? Christ saved the adulterer. Is your sin the sin of unbelief? Oh, Christ even died for those who did not believe, but yet would believe. Is your excuse, I possibly could not be saved? Dear friends, the Scripture says, yet there is room. Yet there is room. And do you know what the course of the argument of men is this? When they say that my sin is too great, they are saying effectively that the merits of Christ and the grace of God are too small to save my great sins. Oh, dear friends, that is not so. That is patently not so. Where there is room, there is also room in the family provision. There is an abundance at Christ's table. He has taken into His family. Oh, He has taken into His family men and women, an innumerable number. They have become His sons, and Christ is their elder brother. Heirs of Christ, heirs with Christ, into the family whereby they can say, Abba, Father. Yet there is room. Yet there is room. This family can extend. The great feast have been provided at this family table. The Feast of Peace. Oh, we are living in a day that is troubled. A day of uncertainty, a day of turmoil. We live in a day when we fear for our young as they go forward in life. We know not what the future holds. Even those who are younger amongst us can look back and we can see changes that our young people are having to bear that we never were faced with. One of the great feasts that has been provided for those who trust in Him is the Feast of Peace. And when we lay our head upon our pillow at night, that's when we need peace. To know that if it's a case that we shall not wake in this scene of time in the morning, that we shall wake in eternity seeing Him. There is the feast of pardon. How can man be just with God? We quoted it this morning, there is therefore now no condemnation. That means there is therefore now justification to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that can only be through Jesus Christ Himself. We can have joy in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, perhaps we often fail to give the Spirit the place that the Spirit deserves. And it is true that He is the self-effacing one in the Trinity of persons. And yet the Holy Spirit is the one who points men and women unto Christ. And as He calls and enables men to come unto the Savior, He equips them for work in the church and in their dealings with one another. And that is a delight that we can have in Christ as we are called by the Spirit. God, in His mercy, bestows these great gifts upon us in the family provision. And yet, there is room. And yet there is room. There is room in that great house in eternity. In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There is an inheritance that is boundless. Dear friends, tonight, have you no wish or desire to make that inheritance yours? And yet, there is room. A great multitude have gone before. A great multitude. A cloud of witnesses, we are told, are in heaven. And yet, there is room. Where there is room, but also, secondly, for whom there is room. For whom there is room. You know, I'm sure that it's the case in this part as it is in many others. When someone passes on, the question is often asked, I wonder who got the house? I wonder who was left the money? I wonder who got the inheritance? Well, suppose for a moment that that inheritance was going and you knew that you had a right to that inheritance. Would you or would you not claim it? If you had a right to that inheritance, it would be indeed your duty to claim it. Because you have to be a good steward. And dear friends, there is an inheritance which far exceeds the inheritance of an earthly home. Far exceeds it. Are you going to lay your claim tonight to that inheritance? You know, recently, I'm sure we were taken up by the royal wedding, not so long ago. And one of the things that was a debating point about that royal wedding was who was on the guest list and who was not on the guest list. And one of the interesting things was this. Two former prime ministers of the country were not on that guest list. But the grandchild of the nanny of Prince William was a page boy. Commoners are there. But prime ministers are not there. And we might ask the question as regards this great supper. For whom is there room? And we might answer it first of all by saying, for whom there is not room. There is no room for those angels which have fallen, for that angelic host who fell at the fall. There is no room because they have fallen individually. They did not fall in a covenant head. They can never be redeemed. They are lost forever. Strangers. Gone. No mercy shown. No love bestowed. No mediator given. Ah, dear friends, doom for the fallen angels. But there is also no room for sinners in heaven who are in this place of woe. They have had the same opportunities as others. They have heard the gospel presented. They have heard the gospel preached. They have been pressed with the invitations to come and to lay hold on Christ. And yet, right up until the day that they are ushered out into eternity, they refuse. What is the problem? Is the problem the seed? Now the problem cannot be the seed, because the same seed is sown, the same word is used. Can the problem be the sower? Well, ultimately it's the same sower. Now, dear friends, the problem is the ground. The problem is the heart. The problem is the response. Dying outside of Christ, there is no room. But who? For whom is there room? Well, you will notice here that the servant goes out into call men onto this great supper, and they refuse. They have their excuses. It was a call to the Jews. And then the call was made to all, compelled them to come in. To the Gentiles, to you and to me tonight, dear friends. And oh, what a privilege that is. But oh, what a responsibility it bears. Rejecting and continuing to reject the word, and refusing the invitation and the command to come, may bring upon a community a terrible consequence and a terrible judgment. There might be a time that will come when Struan will no longer have the word of God preached. That is the consequence. That is the great onus, and I would fail tonight if I did not point that out. The word taken. Oh, there is room yet. Room yet. See, the gospel presentation and the gospel offer is to all without distinction. You know, we often hear it said that because we don't know who the elect are, we must preach the gospel to all. Well, dear friends, even if we did know who the elect were and who were not the elect, as preachers of the word, we are called even to preach to those, even if we did know who were not elect. Because the grace of God, the mercy of God, the righteousness of God must be presented before all men. All men. Without distinction. The Apostle Paul could say, as he looked at his own salvation, that he was the chief of sinners. And I can say, I'm sure that everyone who sat at that table today can say within their own hearts, I am the chief of sinners. Because Paul was not making an objective statement. Paul was making a subjective statement. And that will be how the Lord's people feel. I am the chief of sinners. But even for the chief of sinners, yet there is room. Where there is room, for whom there is room. But finally, when there is room. When there is room. Yet. You see, there is a limit here. A limit not to the sufficiency of the supper. Not to the sufficiency of the call. Not to the sufficiency of the invitation. Not to that sufficiency. But there is a limitation, dear friends, to time itself. Yet, you see, the word yet suggests to us, even though it's a small word, it suggests to us a series of solemn thoughts. The first thing it brings before us is the thought of the great patience and forbearance on the part of God. You are here tonight. Even those who are the very youngest have heard the gospel many times. And in that rejection, you have leaned upon the forbearance of God, and that He has not cut you down for that rejecting of the word. Yet, there is room. But we have to say that generally speaking, day by day, as we grow older, we lose a sensitivity to sin in our natural state. That which once repelled us, we grow accustomed to. It's like if you stand in the darkness long enough, and when you come into the shining sun, your eyes cannot see because you have grown accustomed to the darkness. And so it is with sin, dear friends. We lose our sensitivity and we become hardened. But even in that progression of age and our hardness progressing, yet there is still hope. For yet there is room. Even at the 11th hour, God calls. We have heard these past days of a past generation when a man near his 100th year came to the Lord's table. He was probably a man who had come to know the Lord early on in his life. Generally speaking, dear friends, the longer we go on in sin, the more difficult it is to lay hold and to see our need of Jesus Christ. I urge you this evening to consider how you are indeed leaning upon the forbearance and the patience of God. You see, we are told that there is a time when God's Spirit will not always strive with man. The word yet also suggests that there will be a time when there will not always be room. You see, it says, yet there is room. Yet there is room. The word yet is confining it to the here and now. But it's saying there is a time that there will not be room. And dear friends, there will not be room when it is too late, when the door is shut and death comes. There will not be room. There will not be room, most certainly, after death. The parable of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16 reminds us of that. There will not be room when Christ returns for those who are still outside of him, as we have it brought before us in Matthew chapter 25 with the parable of the 10 virgins. Either it is the case, dear friends, that you will come. You will come now while there is yet room. Or you will go to that place where the room is. We are told where their worm dieth not. The fire is not quenched. But yet there is room. The word yet reminds us, dear friends, of the sinfulness of delay. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It may be the case that you are hearing, even now as we speak, words in your mind that it is too late for you. Those are the words that Satan is whispering. It is too late. He is saying to you, or you don't have the courage. He is saying to you, your sin is too great, or perhaps your sin is too small. Friends, you know enough of the scriptures to know that those statements are false. Because the Bible says, yet there is room. I'm sure the Lord's people who sat around that table today, as you looked on, would say in the words that we have in Numbers chapter 10, come with us. Come with us. And we will do you good. For the Lord hath spoken good. concerning Israel. And the Lord has. The Lord has, dear friends. The Lord has spoken good concerning the hope for your soul tonight. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded. And yet, there is room. And yet, there is room. There is room now. Behold, now is the accepted time. Dear friends, the thought we leave with you now is this. And yet, there is room. Amen. Let us pray.